I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Trump's in Delco and early voting issues all around. The deadline is now come and gone to get your mail-in ballot in person. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here and thank you for being part of the show. Matt, is the Trump event still going on right now in Delco? They cut away from it on Fox News.
It is. Yeah.
Is he speaking or other people speaking?
It looks like he's taking questions at the moment.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's jump back in here and take a little bit more. We can hear a little bit more of this. I think it's going to probably wrap up pretty soon. Go ahead.
Minnesota is one of only 10 states that tax Social Security income at the state level. So she chose him. So for all of us in Pennsylvania, we don't have that right now. What can we expect? That is anti-fixed income. That is anti-senior. And I'm afraid that that's what we may look forward to. And the last thing I'll ask you, just because I don't know the answer to this, what does 10 million plus illegal aliens coming into our country look forward to as far as the Social Security Trust Fund is concerned, as far as Medicare is concerned? How can we look at our own kids and go forward and say we have any idea about it? Because nobody does. This is a catastrophe. So those are my thoughts.
Well, they're good thoughts. And the only mistake that this great husband of yours made was it's not 10 million, it's probably 21 million, you know, which is, and that doesn't include the gotaways, you know, the gotaway, those the people that just pour in and, you know, they're all pouring in. And we're not going to stand for it, number one. And number two, we can't. And, you know, the reason they come is because we say we'll give you, they actually tell them we're going to give you health care, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you Social Security, we're going to give you education. We have a community in Springfield, Ohio, with 32,000 illegal migrants. We're put into a 50,000-person community, and you can't get into the hospitals, you can't get into the schools, you can't do anything. It's a disaster, and it's all going to change. It's not sustainable. I mean, it's not yet a nice community, Springfield. And now it's, you heard about this, Mike, 32,000 illegal migrants. Now, they sort of made it legal by playing cutesy with the law, but they're illegal migrants. And it's just not sustainable. This is happening all over the country. In terms of pricing, what you're really alluding to is drill, baby, drill. Because when we bring the energy cost down, everything's coming down. And we have more energy under our feet than any other country, including Saudi Arabia and Russia. And we were, as you know, energy independent 4 years ago, and now it's a mess. We're buying tar, big bets of tar from Venezuela, and we're refining it. It's a mess. And we have the best energy. We're the best oil. We have the most oil. And we don't want to use it. We want to go and give money. You know, Venezuela is the enemy, and we now are making them a very rich enemy. It's not even believable what they're doing. They don't know what the hell they're doing. But we're going to drill, baby, drill. We're going to use our stuff. We don't need anybody else's. And we're going to open up Anwar in Alaska, which is as big as Saudi Arabia, they say, the biggest in the world. I got it open. Ronald Reagan couldn't do it. Nobody could do it for 60 years. They couldn't do it. I got it done. And Biden comes in and he decides to not let it happen. I'll get that thing open so fast. We'll supply to everybody. And we'll start paying down our debt and all of those good things. But your costs are going to come down. You bring energy. Energy is really more than anything else. It was their spending, but it was also energy. That's really what brought up the costs. Because energy, you need it for everything. If you make donuts, you need it for the stove. You need it for the trucks, for delivery. You need. And we're going to have so much energy. And one of the pledges that I make is that we are going to have energy costs, which are very high right now. And that includes gasoline. We're going to get rid of the mandate, by the way, the electric mandate for your cars. That's going to come off. And that's great. You know, if somebody wants an electric car, I mean, Elon Musk gave me the biggest endorsement you've ever seen, and his cars are great. But not everybody needs to have an electric car or wants to have an electric car. You're going to be able to get hybrids. You get regular gasoline-powered cars. But we're going to bring your energy cost down by 50% within 1 year. By the way, it's going to be easy. We can do it. Nobody else can because we have so much. It's right under us. Even in New York State, they don't realize that New York State is sitting on a tremendous amount. And if they used it, Lee would have opened that up in 2 seconds. Yep. They don't want to drill for the environment. And the people in Pennsylvania, they're sitting there. They have a Cadillac. And the people across the line is right here. And they don't have a car. And it's just absolutely, we have so much energy in this country. We're going to bring down the prices. That'll bring down everything else. And you'll be in great shape. But that's fantastic. I'm fascinated by your wife. So they say that as a pilot, the hardest thing you can do is land on an aircraft carrier. Have I heard, is that a correct statement? Do you land on an aircraft carrier?
Yes, in fact.
That's... You got to be kidding. She might be better than you.
All the airplanes have hooks on the back, so you got to use them. So
right?
Go land on a carrier.
That's fantastic. It's a great story. Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right, we've got a couple other things. I want to get to some of your calls as well. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We'll keep monitoring this. And let me go to Mike in Ambler. Mike had a ballot issue he wanted to bring up. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself, Rich?
All right, what's up?
Hey, so a couple things. Did Mama Zeoli by any chance see another shooting down of a spy balloon lately by any chance? Or
She is our correspondent when it comes to those things. But no, I mean, we haven't had a spy balloon to shoot down. They're shooting, they're blowing it up. Where is the audio of that, DeSantis? We got to play that. Is that in my stupid board thing over here? I'll find it for you, and I'll play it for you, Mike, all right?
All right, so here we go. So just to let you know, I will reach out to protectthevote.com, but I've been told as well, you know, our votes came sealed. Even today, they said, oh, just use a letter opener and then tape it shut. And I'm wondering, I'd like to reach out to is it Linda Kearns, I guess, and say, hey,
yeah,
look, are they recording who actually's ballots come in that have tape on them?
You remember the outer security envelope is already sealed shut, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're blaming that on humidity, which is a bunch of nonsense, obviously. Yes,
yeah.
You have to make sure that you let them know this. And the idea is that you should go in person and get a new one.
Right, and it's tough now because the offices are closed and you got to go to Norristown. I'm in Montgomery County, and the lines are unbelievable there. But all right, so one last thing, too. I have a joke for you, and this is like the perfect timing for this joke.
Okay.
All right, so you ready?
Ready.
All right, so 12 Puerto Ricans walk into a bar, and they have a bunch of trash.
Okay.
That's the joke.
That's the joke? Well, I don't understand. What's the punchline?
12 Puerto Ricans walking into a bar with a bunch of trash.
But what's the punchline, though? You can't have a punchline for a joke. That's a setup. You need a punchline.
All right. I got to work on the punchline.
All right, you work on the punchline.
I guess that went over like a lead spy balloon,
I guess.
Well,
it went over like, you know. Here, Justin, can you pot up my audio thing? So I can play a clip. You know how to pop that up?
I think they're blowing it up.
Like that. That's your joke, Mike. That's what she's talking about.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Bob is in Orland. Bob, how are you? Bob, you there? All right. No, Bob. Let's go to Jerry in Bucks County. Jerry, how's the scene in Bucks?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, we were just up at Court Street in Bucks County to vote.
Uh-huh.
And they're turning people away there. We got there around 4. I was supposed to be open till 5, but the doors are already locked. They said they'll give you a ballot application, and you can bring it back tomorrow.
All right. Let me know if you run into any problems tomorrow, okay?
Okay. Well, the one thing I wanted to say is, there was only 2 Republicans taking processing people this morning. They're woefully unprepared.
It seems like they are unprepared everywhere for the amount of people and the enthusiasm and the amount of people that want to vote early. That's my sense of it. And I don't know if that's to dissuade people from voting early or what, but it does seem like everywhere, even on the Jersey side, it's the same thing. It's just they're not ready for this, and people are waiting in line for hours. So
there was no line.
Yeah, there wasn't really line. They were just turning people away.
They locked the door and put security.
They were walking up and walking away.
Why, though? What was their reasoning for that?
They said, go ahead.
They said that there was too many people there. No. They were going to close it at 3 o'clock.
But it was supposed to be open at 5.
But that's all they say. You know, and they said they were going to, it was supposed to be open until 5. They said it was closing at 3 because there was too many people and they wouldn't be able to get them all done by 5 o'clock.
Okay. So they told you to come back tomorrow?
Yes.
Are you going to be able to do that?
Between 1 and 5.
You can't.
But yeah, no, I can't do that. I work in a hospital. My wife and I both work in a hospital. We can't just walk away whenever we want. We have to arrange to get, you know, this time off to get here.
Right. This is frustrating to me because that's exactly the opposite of what they said, which is that anyone who's in line by 5 would be able to get one today, not have to come back.
Right. Yeah, so, it's ridiculous.
That flies exactly ridiculous. In the opposite of what the governor and the secretary of state said. That's the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. So there was a lot of young kids there to vote. Are they really going to come back now? I mean, you know, I'll make it. I'll make a vote somehow. I'm going to make sure I make it to vote. But are these young kids who normally don't even come out going to spend another day?
No, look, for a lot of people, you're right. They may have made arrangements like yourself to get out there. It's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable, Jerry. All right. Well, yeah. You know, I don't know what else to say other than it's unacceptable. This is not what was supposed to happen. And unfortunately, this seems to have been something that happened a lot in Bucks County today. So.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Not as crazy as that Puerto Rican joke you just heard.
Well, that was a terrible joke. That was so bad. It's the worst joke I've ever heard in my life.
If I had more time, I'd come up with one for you, but...
Just, you know. All right, Jerry. You and your wife have a wonderful night. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 855-839-1210. I don't know why that's happening. I mean, and it's not the first time I've heard that about Bucks County. I don't know what to say. I mean, I read you the governor's tweet. I read you the statement from Al Schmidt. They are supposed to be that if you were in line, you were supposed to get your ballot, and that was supposed to be the end of it, not come back. It's absolutely unacceptable. It really is. Bob's in Orland. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I was a little curious. Carville's all worried about the Puerto Rican joke.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't Puerto Ricans mostly Catholic?
A lot of them are, yeah.
Wouldn't that bother them more that the actual presidential candidate is mocking their religion as opposed to a joke from some comedian?
Yeah, I mean, and how about the little thing with Gretchen Whitmer and the Doritos and the communion mock? How about that?
Yeah, yeah, and go to that other rally, right?
Because are politicians doing that, not comedians.
Correct.
Right. Thank you, Bob. It's a good point. It's a good observation. Actually, Matt, do you have that clip of the media melting down over this? My point is just that the media it's so stupid. I think people see through this crap. I really do. I don't think it matters. Oh, I also have to mention this as well. New York Times updated their swing state polling. PA, Trump is up by less than a point. Nevada, even. Wisconsin, even. North Carolina, even. Michigan, Harris up by less than a point. Georgia, Trump up 2. Arizona, Trump up 3. In the last 2 weeks, Trump has gained 2 points nationally, a point in Wisconsin, a point in Nevada, 2 points in PA, 1 point in Georgia. And he's gained a point in Arizona. Kamala has gained 1 point in Michigan. I don't think she's going to win Michigan. I don't at all. I want to play this clip, actually. This is on the Breakfast Club with Charlemagne the God. Her problem with black voters. And he asked her the question, you know, what do you say to those black men, Kamala Harris, who say you are not speaking directly to them about the things they care about? Cut number 3.
What is your strong push to any black man right now that feels like you're not speaking directly to them and about the things that they should care about for their families and for themselves?
Well, Lauren, I have to tell you back to what Charlamagne is shouting in the background. The brothers aren't saying that.
The brothers aren't saying that. The brothers aren't saying that. It's insulting the way they speak about people. Honestly, isn't it absolutely insulting? But you know, here's J.D. Vance. His point about that Puerto Rico joke. This is what he said at a rally in Wisconsin. Cut number 8.
Now, I've heard about the joke. I haven't actually seen the joke that you mentioned, but I think that it's telling that Kamala Harris's closing message is essentially that all of Donald Trump's voters are Nazis, and you should get really pissed off about a comedian telling a joke. That is not the message of a winning campaign. And most importantly, it's not the message of a person who's fit to be the president of the United States of America. And my own view on this is, look, again, I haven't seen the joke. Maybe it's a stupid racist joke, as you said. Maybe it's not. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to comment on the specifics of the joke. But I think that we have to stop getting so offended at every little thing in the United States of America. I'm so over it.
On the polling issue, I want to share this with you. This is a little bit about the polling momentum here that's happening right now. So, NBC News Steve Kornacki breaking down the broader movement favoring Trump in the polls, broader movement right now, and why this is good news for Trump in the closing week here. Cut number 12.
On it, Steve Kornacki. Steve, this race is incredibly tight in the home stretch.
Yeah, absolutely, Kristen. One thing we have noticed in the last couple of days, this is not all of the polls that are out there now, but we have seen a number, 4 in the last 4 days, that have shown very small, but in the context of this close race, potentially meaningful movement in Trump's direction. I don't want to overstate it, but at the same time, it's hard to ignore these 4. The CNBC poll came out the other day, has Trump ahead by 2. The Wall Street Journal poll, Trump ahead by 3. These are national numbers. Siena and the New York Times, tied race. CNN, a tied race. The significance here is broader movement. Again, we're seeing in Trump's direction. To put this in some context, here is our current national polling average. Let me call that up on the screen for you right here. Harris continues to lead nationally. I want to stress that, but we've been tracking this every week on the air here. A couple weeks ago, this number was at 3 for Kamala Harris. Her lead in the poll average now down to 1.2 because of some of the numbers that I just showed you. Of course, the swing states, the battleground states are going to be what decide this election. And look how close those are. We see 1.2 nationally. Just about all these swing states are even tighter than that. So Trump, certainly a little improvement nationally, but where the race is decided, absolutely razor thin. But what is happening nationally? Well, we can show you from the CNBC poll. They picked up on something that our own NBC poll was suggesting recently, and that is a shift in the image of Kamala Harris. You can see right now in the CNBC poll, 42 positive, 48 negative, higher negative than positive. That's where Trump is too, largely 39-49. The significance is about a month ago when we were polling this, Harris had a higher positive than negative. In our poll, in the CNBC poll, in other polls out there right now, you see Harris now with that negative going back above that positive rating. That said, tons of uncertainty and volatility remain in this race. Check this out. We can show you this morning also from that CNBC poll, looking at this question of persuadable voters, defining them this way. How about this? 12% in the CNBC poll who currently say they support Harris or Trump say that they could change their mind still in this race. Another 6% say they're undecided or currently going to vote for a third party candidate. That's a persuadable category of 18%. That's getting close to 1 in 5 voters here. And the uncertainty is particularly acute for Donald Trump. We tell you, maybe he's made some gains here, but his support continues to run deepest with voters who it is unclear if they're actually going to turn out and vote. Look at it this way. From our NBC polling, a merge of all of our data, those who voted in the 2020 presidential election and the 2022 midterms, Harris with a 6-point lead, the most reliable block of voters, those who only voted in the 2020 presidential. That's where Trump opens up a lead. And then those who didn't vote in either, that's where Trump has his biggest advantage over Harris. Are they actually going to vote this time around? Huge question mark. Another way to look at it, we ask folks, scale of 1 to 10, your interest in this election. Again, look at this. Those who rated the highest, 9 or 10, races tied, 7 or 8, pretty high, Harris is ahead. Here's where Trump cleans up. Those who say 1 to 6. So again, Trump relying on a coalition that if they turn out, could be powerful for him, Kristen, but that's a big if.
Powerful indeed, and those persuadable voters in focus in these final days of the race.
Let me also mention to you that there's some other metrics here, too, and that is this. The Hill is projecting Republicans to control the Senate with a 73% chance. The House, the Republicans have a 54% chance of controlling the House. So, you know, it's a big deal. And look, I know a lot of these numbers are kind of hard to follow on the radio, and that's a long clip, and I'm, you know, but I think the key here to note is that what we're seeing here with Trump is just continued momentum building. And my impression of it is that if you're a voter and you're still waiting at the very, very end here to make up your mind, and you're waiting to the last minute to make your mind up, what the hell's moving the needle for you at this point? What is it? And I don't think it's gonna be a Puerto Rico joke. I think it's gonna be something else. So you're still waiting for something from Kamala Harris. So then let's say you're one of those undecided voters and you're a guy. You heard Trump go on Rogan. You're waiting for Kamala Harris. Why isn't she doing Joe Rogan? You know why she's not doing Joe Rogan? Joe Rogan came out today and explained it. And J.D. Vance is going on Joe Rogan. So you know that. He's going to go on there, which is great for him. Kamala Harris is not going on Joe Rogan. You know why? Because she only wanted to do an hour. And then he wouldn't agree to that. He wouldn't agree to only do an hour with her. His whole format is about these long form interviews. And for a guy like Joe Rogan, he's not going to be dictated to by Kamala Harris. You know, she's the one that needs to go on his show to gain something. By the way, we're streaming live on YouTube. If you want to join in right now, youtube.com 1210 WPHT is where you go. He's the one. He doesn't need her. She needs him. She needs to reach his audience. She needs to reach the audience of people that are on the fence about her, who are waiting at the last minute for whatever reason. And I'm telling you, they're going to wind up voting for Trump at the end of the day because she is not giving them a convincing reason. She cannot close it. At this point, if you've not made your mind up, you're either not going to vote, which favors Trump, or you're going to wind up just voting for Trump because she's not persuading you yet. So if you're still holding out with 1 week to go, if you're still in that category, people holding out, guess what's going to happen? She needs to convince you to go with her. She's not doing that because she's not going to those venues and speaking to people. She's doing her closing tonight, her big closing pitch. What do you think it's going to be? Let me guess. Trump Hitler, Trump fascist, Trump bad, orange man bad, meanie pants. That's my guess.
Going back to that Kamala on Joe Rogan thing, I do think it's funny that once again, the party and the person who constantly criticized Donald Trump's supposed lack of stamina can only do 1 hour of Rogan, but Trump did 3 hours.
Which is why he said she'd be a pile of mush in the back if she did that. So no doubt about that. All right, 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. By the way, this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And you should go out there and see them because it's going to be a lot of fun. It is their full service resort, conference center, top beach destination, wedding venue. Just visit grandhotelcapemay.com for more information. And that's what you should do. And join us December 20th for our next live show if you'd like to be part of that. All right. So if she doesn't reach these voters who are on the fence, how's she going to close the deal? This is the problem with this campaign in this moment in time for them with 1 week to go. Now, I think that you should also know this. Anderson Cooper calling out Harris supporters for complaining about having asked her tough questions and then grilling MSNBC, admitting that they are fake news. So you see, well, you've got, actually, let me back up here for a second. So you've got a lot of anger out there that Kamala Harris was not endorsed by the Washington Post. And you've got a lot of anger by people out there who are upset that Kamala Harris had some tough questions asked of her, and they don't understand how. They can't figure that out. And so here's Anderson Cooper calling out Harris supporters for complaining that she had tough questions given to her. All right? Cut 16.
This country where, you know what, I got so many, I don't look at comments about myself, but I was looking up some comments about my grief podcast, and I came across this whole inundation from people who are Harris supporters saying to me online today, like, how dare you, what a betrayal that you would ask her these questions.
No, and
I'm like, you misunderstand what my job is. I'm not on MSNBC, or and no disrespect, what they do is, they're very talented. But I don't watch it. I'm not interested in watching what these overpaid blow-dried anchors think. And I include myself in that overpaid blow-dried, although I don't blow-dry. I am overpaid. But I'm not interested in the anchor's opinion. I'm interested in facts and letting the viewers make up their own mind. So anyway, I'm sorry this devolved into something else.
All right, so that's the thing. We were supposed to get tough questions here. You know, your candidates, and that's the thing. A lot of people are waiting for tough questions. Because this is her chance to try to close things. This is a very, very badly run campaign. Bill's in Quakertown. Bill, how are you?
I am well, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Hey, so, man, a lot's gone on just since I dialed in, but I'll try to stay on topic. What I called in about was, you know, so an earlier caller was talking about, you know, we're talking about what's going on with folks in early voting and the polling, and you can't get in, or this, you know, and his comment was, are the young folks, the young people who are coming out early to vote, are they going to take another day to come back? I would say that should be the fuel, the fire to come back. If I stood in line and they said, "Oh no, you can't, it's closed," that would, and I played by the rules, that would absolutely fuel the fire for me to come back earlier and do whatever I have to do to cast my vote, because somebody doesn't want my vote to be cast. So I would ask that, you know, if we could maybe beat that drum a little bit and go, hey, if you got turned away or something weird happened to you, and rather than going down the, oh, here we go again path, let's, you know, say, hey, use that as motivation to go back and stand in line again. So that's kind of my first point.
Go ahead. And your second point?
Well, so I just want to, now I'm going to go off to another thing. So I had the opportunity to, roads closed. I have to turn around, and the homeowners out front, they say, oh, here, you turn around on my driveway. I turn around the driveway. They have a Harris wall sign out front. I roll down the window. I say, hey, thanks. I go, hey, why? Look, what makes you think that Harris is right for the country? The first words out of his mouth were, Trump is crazy. And I'm like, well, I'm asking about Harris. And then we got to the point.
Oh, you know, that's a thing, right? Isn't that something where you find that about people and they turn around and they say, well, why are you supporting Harris? They turn around, they go, because Trump is bad.
Right. And I'm not asking about Trump.
Yeah, you got to challenge him. You got to turn around and you got to go, can you tell me why you're backing Kamala Harris without mentioning Donald Trump? Right?
That would be a good one.
See if you can do that. See if you can do that and not mention Donald Trump's name and tell me why you're backing Kamala Harris. That's always the pushback with that.
That's the pushback. But here's, I'm going to give you one, just if I may, a quick little insight I got into the way this individual thinks. And I said, I got talking about illegal immigrants and the crime, the rape, the murder that's going on in this country, in our communities, right? We're in Upper Bucks. It's here. And he says to me, do you know anyone who's been raped by an illegal immigrant? And I'm like, thank God, no. But is that the measure by which we should go? That's like talking about with the NBC reporter saying to J.D. Vance, there's the number of people that are illegal immigrants that have taken over, you know, apartment buildings. It's a small number, you know. And I'm like, I go, so if I go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, I have cancer cells, I'm not going to say, you know what? It's just a small number of cancer cells.
You know what? Listen, that's going to go back as to be one of the worst moments of this campaign and one of J.D. Vance's best moments when he pushed back on that. Bill, thank you. I got to run. I appreciate it very much, though. When J.D. Vance pushed back and said, Martha, do you hear yourself? We're only saying a few apartment buildings. Martha, do you hear yourself right now? Unbelievable stuff. All right, listen, we got a lot to get to. I still want to take your thoughts and your calls. We have the CEO of Goya Foods joining us at 6 o'clock. part of the hour. But I want to let you know, look, there's a lot going on, obviously, but relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. It's why we're here, because of Cherry Hill Volvo. They are a studio sponsor. And it's so great that they have our back 100%. And it's a guiding principle in how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And the result is that so many of their customers, like me, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. And right now is a great opportunity to enjoy incredible fall offers from Cherry Hill Volvo, like a 2025 XC40 for only $435 a month on a 36-month lease. Or you can get 3.99% financing on select new Volvos for 72 months. Just head to the store for all the details and do it today. Judith and the entire Cherry Hill Volvo team would love to see you, and they look forward to meeting you, because that's what it's about, relationships. And these are great cars. Hey, maybe you want to do the S-Class made right at their plant in South Carolina. American jobs, baby. Either way, at Cherry Hill Volvo, you will love the treatment. You will love the way that they take great care of you. And you can't beat 3.99% financing in this day and age of crazy interest rates. So do it today. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, the region's most accessible Volvo dealership, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Justin, your point before about Rogan's podcast, has he ever done, because I don't listen to him that often, but has he ever done a podcast that's less than 2.5 hours?
Not that I work. I think the shortest one I've ever seen is like a little over 2 hours. Usually it's about 2.5 hours to 3 hours is his normal length.
Yeah.
Like, he always goes the distance with every guest that he has.
Do you listen regularly to him?
I wouldn't say I listen regularly. I listen, like, if there's an interesting guest, like, I know he's had RFK, he's had President Trump, he's going to have, hopefully, future Vice President J.D. Vance on. Like, if there's an interesting guest, and I think that they're going to have an interesting conversation, because, you know, Joe Rogan, he's mostly in his own bubble. He's got his UFC thing that he does. He's got his own things. But if it's somebody who I think can, you know, bring, like, an interesting dynamic to the two of them, it's something I'll listen to.
It's just long, though.
It's incredibly long.
I mean, I don't know if I could handle that with my attention span. DeSantis could never. There's no friggin' way. He's not even listening to this show.
I am listening to this show.
You're not listening to the show. Stop
I am. It's ironic that you're complaining about the length of Joe Rogan's podcast. Your podcast is over 3 hours long every single day, Monday through Friday, and people still listen.
Do they really?
Yeah, our full show podcast is our number one downloaded podcast every single day.
You hear that, Justin? You hear that?
Yeah, we're going to be fighting Joe Rogan for that Spotify money soon enough.
Damn it. What are we all going to do with it, kids, when we get rich? And I'm looking at our YouTube stream numbers, and, you know, kudos to Kirk for loading all the videos in there. Our YouTube numbers have gone up quite a bit in terms of people watching, which is good. I don't think there's anything other than the fact that everybody loves flirting with Kimmy on the YouTube chat, basically, is what I'm seeing, and bashing Jimmy Matthews and Chris Eppolito's jokes and flirting with Minnie, too. I'm just seeing the latest names on here. So Harvard morgue mascot DeSantis. Wait, Harvard.
What?
Jonathan Turner said with the Harvard morgue mascot DeSantis podcast. Is he the same guy that wrote that Puerto Rican joke who called in earlier today? That guy was good. And Justin. Yeah.
And me. Yay.
And Justin. Yay. See, it would be nice, though, if when I talk to you, I could put the camera on you. Can I do that or no?
I think we just got back producer Dan Valdez for Rooney, and he has a couple of different camera angles that he's trying out with Rooney that involves like the producer's studio. So I think I'm going to try and get in contact with him and see if I can figure out how he does it in vMix. I can pass that information along to Kirk. So hopefully maybe next week, you know, for the big election day special, we can have producer cams along with the host cams that we have.
Nice. I like it. I like it. I like it. Let's do it. Oh, hey, I just, look, there's Justin talking right now. Look at that.
Oh, look at that.
He's on camera.
Hey.
Everybody can see Justin, our associate producer. Well done, Kirk. Now, Kirk, can we put you on camera, too? That's the other question
no.
I have. What's that?
I don't have a camera in here.
You don't have a camera?
Oh, I do not.
Okay, and I see Trump's mugshot behind you. There you go. There's Justin waving at everybody. DeSantis does not have a camera. He refuses. It's in his contract. He refuses to be on camera.
Maybe I'll be on camera next week since it's election week.
Well, you're going to be back in studio for that, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I you know what it is? I hate being on camera. I do. I hate it. Even though I'm a Fox News star now and it's big celeb and always on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon and might be on Fox News again Thursday and Monday and Tuesday and then next week, I don't really like being on camera all that much. You know what I mean? So reaching millions of people on Fox News, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. I mean, you know, and then chicks dig me and then they, you know what I mean? It's a lot. It's a lot on a guy. So, it's a lot, as you can imagine. But anyway, we'll get through it.
That's a clever way to promote your Fox News appearances. I liked it.
Well, I think I'm doing. I don't know. I don't want to jinx it yet and announce it, but I think we may have to figure something out for Thursday's show. I might be on there at like 6 o'clock on Thursday because they're doing a show from Philly. We may have to figure something out to make that work because I'm supposed to be on the air till 7. But obviously, you know, if they're doing something special in Philly at 6 and they want me on there, we got to figure out how to do that. So we got to figure that out. We should probably talk about that off the air, though, not on the air.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out a solution.
Justin
could host the hour.
Yeah, Justin, you want to host the last hour of the show?
I don't think I'm quite ready for that.
Not yet.
My experience with on-air hosting is playing music at a college radio station and occasionally doing color and play-by-play commentary for sporting events. I don't know if I'm ready for the big time in the big chair yet.
That makes you better than 98% of the talk show hosts in all of America, by the way, who are nationally syndicated, just for the record.
I appreciate the enthusiasm in my abilities.
Well, the top story of the day is brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, the master of implant dentistry and named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. Schedule your free implant consultation today at 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, and do that today. This is this story about Tim Walz that came out, and I don't know if I believe this, all right? So let me share with you the story about Tim Walz. He apparently had a secret fling with a Chinese communist official's daughter. Here's my thinking on this. I don't believe it. I think this is a story that's propped up to make him sound like an alpha male. I don't buy it. If it was a guy, I would believe it. Tim Walz had secret fling with top Chinese communist official's daughter, she says. The woman says Walz treated her like a prostitute. This goofball. No friggin' way did this guy have a secret fling with the daughter of a top Chinese communist official. No way. I'm not buying it. She was 24 years old. No way. Now, I've seen his wife. You've seen his wife, too. She's freaking cringe. So I'm not buying that now. This is a psyop to make him seem like he's some sort of an alpha male. I don't believe it. No way. And just to prove to you that this guy has no game whatsoever, no game whatsoever. Here's Tim. I got a bunch of Tim Walz cuts today. Where's the one, the goofy one from today that I have? Let's see. Where is it, Matt? We got.
Which one? There's quite a few Tim Walz cuts. We've got him playing Madden with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
No, that's too painful to make people watch.
We have him on the Dan Le Batard show.
Yeah, let's
that
do
one's
that.
Also really weird.
Yeah, let's do that one. Go ahead.
Coach, thank you for the time. I think you might have swayed down the middle, Chris. Here, I think he's
the
voting
porn thing.
I'm pro porn.
Yeah,
pro
okay.
porn.
Excellent
yeah.
work by you guys.
Hey, you do what you do. You be you. You be you. Is my thought.
Yuck.
Such a loser. Honestly, he's such a weirdo, isn't he? I think you may have swayed in the doubt because it's the porn thing. I'm pro porn. Hey, you do what you do. You be you. Is my thought because the guy's pro porn. This is creepy. You know who else? I guarantee you, Tim Walz, if you looked at his browsing history, that's a guy who really needs a privacy filter on his internet. If you ask me, I'm telling you, I bet you if you went through Tim Walz's browsing history, it would disgust you. I guarantee it. No doubt about it. J.D. Vance ripped Tim Walz for botching a football term while playing Madden with AOC. So the clip of him playing Madden, does he botch the football term in this clip, Matt?
No, it's even worse than that. I could forgive him if it was just something he said spur of the moment and it didn't make sense. This was actually a tweet that he sent out. So he must have thought through it before hitting send.
Oh.
But yeah, he used the wrong terminology. But J.D. Vance calls him out for it if you want.
See, I mean, look, I don't know terminology, but I don't pretend to be coach. You know what I mean? I don't pretend to be the goofy Midwestern coach guy. So if I need a sports question answered, I'll ask Justin because he knows. And DeSantis has no friggin' clue about sports either, even though he was the Harvard mascot. So if I need a sports question answered, I'll ask Justin. Like, for example, Justin, did the Yankees have a chance tonight against the Dodgers?
Personally, I think not with the way Aaron Judge, who is supposed to be their superstar, you know, God-tier player,
right.
has, I think they said, Bryce Harper could come up to bat 56 times in the next postseason, strike out every single one. He'd still have a better on-base percentage than Aaron Judge has right now.
See that? I think Judge Jeanine could do better than that judge from the five.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here's J.D. Vance. You want to play, which one do you want to play first, DeSantis? You want to play him with AOC, or you want to play which one?
Let's go with J.D. Vance first, since he calls him out for not knowing football terminology, even though he was a football coach, supposedly.
Oh, and happy birthday to old man Dudley. It's his birthday. Happy birthday to old man Dudley. All right, buddy, good. Thank you for being part of the show. We appreciate that very much. All right, go ahead, play it.
I saw that, I guess, Governor Tim Walz did a live stream of a Madden football game, professional football game. Obviously not playing. They were playing video games. And he did it with AOC. And I guess the goal is to try to appeal to the young male vote by playing video games online with AOC. And I don't know who came up with that idea, but I guess afterwards, you know, because Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, they always like to talk about Project 2025, and, you know, which, by the way, is a complete dishonest disgrace. Project 2025 has nothing to do with the Trump campaign, and it never has. But set that to the side. He was talking about playbooks and trying to connect that to Project 2025, and he said, you know, yesterday AOC, she did very good. She ran a pick six. I think, like, you know, you don't run a pick six. You run the West Coast offense or the spread offense. Or you know, the 3-4, the 4-3. Like, it made me realize that I think that even though they say Tim Walz was a college football coach, that I think I know more about football than Tim Walz.
What a loser. By the way, happy birthday to our buddy Chris Eppolito, proud member of the Zioli Army. He's a great guy. And today's his birthday. He's one of the funniest guys on Twitter, too. So you should definitely follow him at OJersey. And he's got a killer stash, too. Killer stash. Looks like something out of like a 70s, like Magnum PI slash. Well, let's put it this way. The guy who says he likes porn would probably see Chris's mustache in a lot of clips. That's what I'm talking about. Happy birthday to Dudley and happy birthday to Chris Eppolito. OJersey. Carlos is in Sewell, New Jersey. Carlos, how you doing, my man?
Very good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was kind of disappointed by that non-joke at Madison Square Garden. And then I was surprised when I first tuned into your show this afternoon to hear that joke about 12 Puerto Ricans going into a bar. So I was.
Well, there was no joke. He didn't have a punchline for it. You can't have a joke without a punchline.
I agree with that, but, you know, picking on almost any group but Puerto Ricans, that's not going to get Donald Trump any more votes. It's going to.
Well, Trump didn't pick on Puerto Ricans. A comedian did.
Right. I agree. And I understand that the guy was vetted, but then he just said that off script.
Look, they should not have had the guy at the rally. But honestly, like, Carlos, were you going to vote for Trump last week?
I already did.
You did vote for him. All right. So do you wish you could undo your vote because of Tony's joke?
No.
Okay. So we agree that he should not have been there. I agree with you 100%. Like I said, if I were running the campaign, I would have murdered whoever thought that was a good idea. Number two, I think the media hype on this is overblown and exaggerated. You agree with that?
I agree with you 100%. Yes, sir.
And you are Puerto Rican, and you still are supporting Donald Trump despite Tony's joke.
Yes.
All right.
All I'm saying is that the campaign needs to watch out for guys like that.
Agreed.
I don't know if he's an outlier. I don't know if somebody paid him or what.
100%. I agree with you. Absolutely. Look, there's a time and place for everything in life, right? A time and place for everything in life. You got to be smart about that. And this is something I have to deal with in my job every day. You know, there are certain times a joke comes to my mind, I've got to be able to filter it so that I don't get fired. Or, you know, when I'm on TV or something like that, which, by the way, I'll be back on Fox News Thursday night and then Monday, Tuesday, and then November 9th. And just, you know, Carlos, in case you're keeping a track on a calendar at home, trying to make it easy.
I've seen you on trailer.
Well, even that, though, I mean, he and I talk about stuff. There are certain jokes we don't make. I'll give you a great example. We, you know, when the story about Doug Emhoff broke, about the allegations, you know, we had a meeting. We were like, we're not going to make a joke about that tonight. We had a bit about Princess Diana, not Princess Diana, the one who got cancer, Princess Kate, I think it was. The night before her cancer diagnosis, we did a whole bit on that. Not about her cancer, but about her. We had to cut it from the show. I mean, everybody has to make their determinations. And it's not cancel culture. It's just what's appropriate for the audience, the moment, et cetera, et cetera. And there's people in the audience that don't want to hear me dropping F-bombs, and whether the FCC allowed it or not. There's certain things. Like, I had a listener come up to me at an event one time who said, I really wish you would not say the word for a donkey's behind, you know, like ass, for example. He said, I wish you wouldn't use that word. Some people just don't like it. There's kids in the car, whatever. I think all of these things have to be factored in whenever you're giving a presentation. And you have to be particularly sensitive knowing how the media in this country is going to jump on every little thing and make an absolute federal case out of it. You know?
Yep. I understand. I agree.
But I'm glad to hear that you are man enough and thick-skinned enough that you didn't run and change your vote, set your hair on fire like the media is saying that you're doing, simply because you're Puerto Rican and now you're backing Kamala Harris.
No. I'd have to be crazy. But, okay, I don't want to pick on her. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you.
I make more fun of the guy who made that dumb joke because it wasn't a joke. You need a punchline. How do you just call up and go, 12 Puerto Ricans walk into a bar with garbage and don't have a punchline to that, Carlos? What is that?
Insanity.
I'm more offended by that because that guy didn't have a punchline than anything else today.
Did he make that up? Did he think that was funny?
This is what Mama Zioli said about that.
I think they're blowing it up.
That joke bombed, Carlos. That's what that was. You know what? Listen, I wish I had a Zioli Army shirt in Puerto Rican to send you. Wait, what is that? That's not a language, though, right? It's Spanish?
It's Spanish, right?
Yeah. I took 5 years of it. You think I'd know a friggin' word. Carlos, my man, thank you. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, you have a great night. See? Good man. Good sense of humor. And there you go. I like that. And I do have a filter, believe it or not. I do. I know it's not hard. It's hard to believe. It's not easy. But I believe it or not, I do have a filter. And it sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. All right. We got to take a quick break. Before I do, though, let me let you know about DuckDuckGo and their privacy features, which you are going to absolutely love. OK, this is key. All right. Online privacy. It is so important. Privacy and security in this day and age. It's why I subscribe to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It's a 3-in-1 privacy subscription service. It helps protect your personal info from being exploited by hackers, scammers, and privacy invasive companies. Plus, it's from DuckDuckGo, so you know it's legit. With Privacy Pro, DuckDuckGo's VPN secures your Wi-Fi connection anytime, anywhere. Second, it has identity theft restoration. If your identity gets stolen, DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro helps you restore it. And third, personal information removal. This one really blew my mind. Have you ever searched your name online and noticed how many sites are selling information about you? Just try it yourself. Privacy Pro will help you remove your personal info from those creepy sites so they can't share it or sell it. It's great. Get all this for only $9.99 a month And as my listener, if you go to duckduckgo.com/1210, you'll get an exclusive 7-day free trial on us. That's duckduckgo.com/1210.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.